It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Four candidates are running for an open seat on the state Supreme Court here in Wisconsin. The outcome of the April general election could shift the ideological balance of the court, which is widely seen as having a 4-3 conservative majority in the current lineup. Before the primary election on February 21st, Central Time invited all the candidates to join us to talk about the race. Yesterday, we heard from Daniel Kelly and Janet Protasewicz. Everett Mitchell is a Dane County Circuit Court judge where he presides over juvenile court. He's also an adjunct professor at the UW-Madison Law School and serves as senior pastor of Christ the Solid Rock Baptist Church in Madison. Judge Mitchell, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate your time with us.
Can you start with your basic elevator pitch? Why do you think people should elect you to the state Supreme Court?
Yeah, I believe that our state deserves a justice that reflects the diversity and ideas of our entire state. I've been around the state at least twice with this idea that justice is not simply what you say, it's also what you do. That there are two races going on in our state. One that we rightly focus on reproductive choice, fair maps decisions and voting access, where there's also another communication and conversation that is focused on criminal justice reform and justice as relates to access to the courts, how communities of color are being addressed and how they have access to the things that they need in order to make sure that their communities are stronger and made better. And so I'm the best candidate to be able to bring those community conversations together so that we can have a justice that brings those experiences to the courts to follow both the rule of law, but also have the capacity to provide the leadership to address mental health and violence and public safety and just overall integrity of the court, return it back to a place of integrity and strength.
Now, people look at the state Supreme Court and fairly or not say these are conservative justices, these are liberals. The same with the candidates. You are often labeled as one of the liberal candidates in this race. What do you say to people who put that label on you?
I will say that, you know, that creates the tension in these races. I think, really liberal and conservative are nothing but synonyms for Democrats and Republicans, which often creates the inability for us to be able to have conversations with both sides. I think regardless as a judge, there's reason why they're nonpartisan so that you could be able to talk to various groups about the various decisions that they're looking to see in their justices. And I think the labels often create the tension where we aren't able to have an independent, thoughtful, reflective conversation about the values of Wisconsinites and what they would like to see in their justice. So there are those where I talk about my values, and as long as I'm talking about my values, we can talk about how my life and my work has aligned with the need to, you know, keep our community safe, to make sure that people receive the trauma-informed care and that we're not using the criminal justice system as a mental health dumping ground, but rather being proactive to solve the problems so that we are not just locking up futures of people, but that we're protecting futures of individuals. And where that lines up, you know, I'll let the voters be able to decide that.
Now, people might hear that and say, even if they agree with your goals there, they're in a way policy goals. And that's not really the job of a state Supreme Court justice. That's to interpret the law. What would you say to that?
I would say that that's why we need to educate individuals about what the Supreme Court does. The Supreme Court doesn't just simply follow just the rules and make decisions on case. They have significant leadership and legislative responsibilities that they still will address policies. They still address, you know, judicial education. They deal with lawyer regulation. They set budgeting policies for the Supreme Courts. They also can create and bring together committees to solve, you know, current concerns that are happening all throughout our court. I mean, just here recently, the Chief Justice called together a committee to address mental health. Right. And starting to pull together, you know, prosecutors, public defender's office, you know, community groups from all throughout the state to start saying what should courts be doing about, you know, mental health and the mental health crises that judges are seeing in their communities. So I think the ways in which we have miseducated our community makes them think that this is limited to just cases, when in reality, there's a whole nother administrative side to the Supreme Court that they're engaging in changing. I mean, quite honestly, when we could not get legislative changes to take handcuffs off of young people in court, we went to the Supreme Court and won a petition before the Supreme Court so that we could put in statute that children are presumed to come into courts without any kind of handcuffs, belts, or restraints. We didn't do that during legislation, but it ended up in the legislation because we were able to go through the Supreme Court to do so.
Talking to Judge Everett Mitchell, a candidate for Wisconsin's state Supreme Court. Judge Mitchell, one of the biggest decisions people are watching for here relates to Roe versus Wade. After the U.S. Supreme Court struck it down, we have this 1849 law in effect in the state. There's a legal challenge to that law saying, hey, there's a law in the 1980s that supersedes it, is the argument there. In a case like that, with two different laws from two different eras, how would you evaluate that case before the Supreme Court?
I'm really not sure how we evaluate it. It's going to be very interesting because the incorrect way in which the United States Supreme Court overturned Roe has really left without any kind of guidance on what is the way for us to evaluate. And so you will see very different degrees across very different states engaging in these conversations about what is the proper standard to evaluate. Is it privacy? Is it due process? Is it equal protection? And I think when we go back and start to assess here in our own state, I think those at least the three lenses that, you know, majority of states, even in South Carolina, when their Supreme Court chose to rule unconstitutional some of their legislative restrictions related to reproductive access, you know, they did it on the ground of privacy and equal protection. So I think there are still going to be some lens in which we need to apply. And I think at least the due process, equal protection, privacy laws that, you know, we have generally, you know, structured other rights around are going to be those that that maybe lawyers and judges will agree are the standards. But at this point, there really isn't any standard because there's no case that has been evaluated in the era post the overturning of Roe.
Once in a great while, parties before the state Supreme Court will ask for or hope that one of the justices recuse themselves from a particular case because of personal connections or campaign contributions. What do you think should be the standard for when a state Supreme Court justice should recuse themselves from a case?
I think the notion that, you know, you are to recuse yourself because of campaign donations it breaks apart the spirit in which we should be having these races in the first place. I've always often advocated for a merit-based system in these races because it costs so much money to be able to, you know, be able to get on TV, to get your message out, to be able to respond in such a manner that, you know, people are going to always be put into a compromised position because you're having to take money from so many different sources, from so many different organizations that are aligned in a certain political direction. And because of that, I don't think anybody will be able to be in a space where if we adopted a recusal that was based on donations, you would literally have a no court whatsoever, anybody ever been able to hear any case whatsoever, because everybody has accepted donations from so many different sources that if one has to recuse, then every last one of them would have to recuse at the same time.
And finally, we would assume that state Supreme Court justices would be collegial, even that when they disagree. That has broken down at some points in recent Wisconsin history. How would you approach collegial relations, even when there's maybe intense debate about a ruling?
You know, it was funny that you asked that question because last night we were at an event, a lawyers judges event in Milwaukee, where I was talking with Justice Rebecca Bradley and even my opponent, Dan Kelly, and we had a conversation about the necessity for civility in our courts. And, you know, Justice Bradley and I talked about the idea that, you know, you have to be careful how you talk about people and after you talk about, you know, individuals. You know, as judges, we should be willing to go after decisions, right? We should focus our opinions on decisions and words that are written decisions. But some of these veiled disrespectful attacks and how we attack individuals' words only weaken our capacity to get into a space and argue about legal ideas and then walk away. I mean, come on, let's be honest with it. We saw Antonin Scalia and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, may they both rest in peace. I mean, that was an odd couple, but they found a way to pay attention to the law, right, and not attack each other. And I think until we get back to a place we recognize attacking one another is not the model, but attacking ideas and then step back and say, you know, how does this impact our state? I think that's the model that I'm running on. That's the model that I'm building. And you will not see me do that to any of my opponents, because that's not the mature, reflective, compassionate, kind, or judicial way for us to behave. And Wisconsin needs a value system that allows for us to return that dignity back to our courts.
Thanks to our guest, Judge Everett Mitchell, Dane County Circuit Court judge, a candidate running for the state Supreme Court. We heard from two candidates, Daniel Kelly and Janet Pertazewicz. Yesterday, the fourth candidate, Jennifer Doro, a judge, has not responded to our requests.